2.
Good morning, madam. May I see your boarding pass? No turning back now. The perky air hostess smiles sweetly at me as I hand her the assortment of papers I've been clutching. After patiently shuffling through them, she finds my boarding pass and makes a hand gesture in the vague direction of seat 34A, which is halfway down the plane, on the left, and, by the look of things, directly over the wing. Fan-fucking-tastic. She hands me back the papers. Have a wonderful flight, madam, she offers cheerily, marking the end of our pleasantries and instructing me to go and find my seat. I doubt I'll have a wonderful flight. I hate to fly. I really do. Everything about it fills me with dread and a morbid sense of doom. Which is why, prior to boarding this particular flight, I decided to steady my nerves, treating myself to a champagne breakfast. My reckless extravagance knows no limits, so I found myself casually sinking 2 Bloody Marys on top of the 3 glasses of champagne I casually guzzled. But it was only house champagne, and 1 glass was included with the breakfast, so that doesn't count. Not that I need to justify my morning binge. I was self-medicating for a chronic case of nervous flyer syndrome. Some take Valium, I take copious amounts of alcohol with tomato juice. Big deal. Besides, nerves apart, I felt like celebrating. This is the start of a big adventure, I think. I suspect this indulgence is why I'm not remotely fazed that it's taking an unreasonable amount of time to get to my seat, as I wait for my fellow passengers to clumsily shove their luggage into the overhead compartments. A simple act that starts off measured and generally good-spirited quickly descends into unbridled fury. Grown men struggling to squeeze a family's worth of bags into a space equivalent to a shoebox. Mature adults transformed into red-faced ninjas in their angry war on hand luggage. I find it funny. Or maybe the fact I find it funny is the surest sign I'm drunk. As I wait for the bottleneck of people to clear, I keep myself amused by looking around the cabin to see who my fellow passengers are today. I wonder what their stories are. What's taking them to New York? I wonder if there is anyone else like me, on their way to New York because they've been told by a fortune teller things weren't going to turn out quite as they'd hoped, and then they'd heard a greengrocer trying to flog his big apples. I suspect not. As the human traffic jam begins to dissolve, I am finally able to reach my seat. As predicted, it is directly over the wing and the enormous turbine engine that I will now fixate on for the entire flight. I snap the window blind shut and attempt to settle in, feeling instantly anxious, my jovial mood now replaced with uneasiness. The realization is beginning to dawn on me that I am going to be on this plane, stuck in this seat, for the next 8 hours and 20 minutes. My palms feel clammy, my tummy feels skittish, and my breath keeps catching in my throat. It feels like it might close up on itself. Worryingly, the more I entertain that thought, the tighter my throat becomes. Self-induced asphyxiation threatens. God, I hate to fly. I decide to be practical. The seat next to mine is still not occupied, so I take advantage of this by getting myself organised. I reach into my bag and pull out an assortment of essential flying paraphernalia. A large bottle of water, an eye mask, earplugs, a magazine, headphones and snacks, all of which I tuck into the now bulging seat pocket in front of me. I find my flight socks and awkwardly replace my normal ones. Luckily, even if only momentarily, these distractions prevent my throat from caving in on itself. And once all this is done, I pull out my phone so I can switch the setting to flight safety mode. I might not be able to prevent an unforeseen engine fire, but I'll be damned if it's my phone signal interfering with flight control that single-handedly downs this plane. I see I have 3 unread messages, 2 from my mum. Bella, sweetheart, I've spoken to your dad and we are all very concerned. We want an emergency family summit as soon as you land. I'll email you the dial-in details. Love you. Love, Mum. Kiss. P.S. I hope this wasn't triggered by our announcement. We really thought you'd be expecting it, sweetheart. Love you. Love, Mum. Kiss. I choose to ignore these messages and instead move right on to message number 3, which is from Malcolm. Malcolm being my brand new tenant. His message simply reads, "Thanks again."